Hello, and welcome to Boss Madle, where I sit down and get real with some pretty amazing, creative women entrepreneurs. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and get ready to be inspired. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 18th episode of Boss Madle. I hope you're all having an enjoyable summer, and I just want to thank you for all the wonderful feedback that I've been getting from you, the beautiful comments about how you're enjoying the podcast. It really means a lot. And if you've got any suggestions, critique, advice, I'd love to hear that. If there's a particular topic you want me to talk about, a certain question you want me to ask, or even a particular guest that you want me to interview, feel free to reach out to me and share those suggestions. If you do not follow me on Instagram already, definitely check out my Insta page, Boss Madle. I recently started a 30-day challenge where I tackle two new mini changes in my morning routine because I really feel like if you can get the day off on the right foot, it really has an effect on your energy, your mood, and of course, your results. And many of you have actually joined in sharing your habits and different ideas that you implement into your morning routine. So keep following me. I will update you on my progress and feel free to add into that conversation. Today, I sit down with Schiffer Klein, who is the editor-in-chief of Fleischig's magazine. And Schiffer talks about her passion for food, how she got into the writing and publishing side of the business, and also how she took a particularly challenging and difficult time in her life and how she ended up using it to start something immensely positive. So it is a beautiful interview. And without further ado, let me introduce Schiffer. Schiffer Klein is passionate about all things food-related. The stories behind it, the experiences in preparing it, and of course, the joy in eating it. Schiffer Klein is the former editor-in-chief at Joy of Kosher, with Jamie Geller Magazine, and Batea Bone. Together with her husband Shlomo, Schiffer recently launched the much-talked-about Fleischig's Magazine. Each issue of Fleischig's is packed with easy-to-follow, step-by-step recipes, beautiful photography, conversations and stories about today's kosher foodies, and information on exciting trends, products, and restaurants. Schiffer lives with her husband and children in New York. Schiffer, welcome to the show. Hi, Schiffer. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's so great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so it's so funny because I had brunch with you right before I started this podcast, and it was just a thought, and we were talking about it, and it's been a fun ride. So really excited to chat about your incredible magazine today. Can you take us back a bit and tell us how you started in the food business?
So I was never really in the food business. Food was always a passion. Like for me, a good time always was like going to the supermarket. Like a fun night out is like strolling through a supermarket, checking out new ingredients. So I always just loved food. And I always felt like there was nothing for the kosher consumer that was on par with the kosher consumer's lifestyle. Like we have so much going on. We cook such amazing food shops in Yom Tov, and there was nothing out there. So I really wanted to create something that spoke to the kosher consumer, but at the same time also represented what kosher is.
Sure.
Highest extent and the kosher lifestyle. And what really got us started was this was more like a personal thing that was going on in my husband and I's life. We were struggling with fertility, and in our community where like people are having like, you know, 7 to 10 children, we had 2. And like at that point there was just such a gap and so much time in our life. And it was the best distraction was just to jump into something crazy because I had never been in food. I'd never been in publishing. I did not know what I was doing. Like literally just woke up one day and was like, okay, I'm doing a magazine. I don't care.
Wow. Now, Did you originally start with another magazine?
Our first magazine was Batea Bone.
Okay.
That's how we got started. And we had initially, this is an example of how I didn't know what I was doing. We had initially printed 10,000 copies. I was like, there's so many people who keep kosher. 10,000, it's a drop in the bucket.
Right.
And when I told the distributor, I'll never forget his face. It was years ago. And he literally almost fell off his chair. I'm not exaggerating. He was like, what? I'm barely going to be able to sell maybe 1,000, maybe 2 for you.
Wow.
But it was just because it was that first, you know, run. But it was just that optimism that I had and that certain level of like being naive and not knowing the industry, which is a good thing and a bad thing. You know, that's how you learn.
Absolutely. So, you know, you then went on to launch Flashigs, and, you know, I would say you did it at a time where a lot of people say print magazine is on the decline, and yet you have managed to produce this beautiful magazine that inspires numerous readers. You're very current. How did you manage that?
So, I mean, firstly, with the idea of print, people always ask me that. That's like the top question.
Sure.
But number one, for the kosher consumer, we keep Shabbos and we have all these holidays that we take part in where there's no option to go online. So print is always relevant. A lot of our subscribers, even like, they'll be like, oh, my magazine came on Tuesday and I have to wait till Shabbos to read it, because they like will literally save it to have some entertainment for Shabbos. So
right.
We definitely have that like stability in our industry, because we know that like people will always need to read. But it's very interesting because also in general, food-related content and even like cookbooks, not in the kosher world, are really rocking. Like they're doing really well. So when it comes to food, somehow like seeing it on paper and opening up a cookbook or opening up a magazine is more exciting for people. So it's not such a dying industry like people think. It's
right.
A little bit of a myth.
Yes. Okay. I like that. It also seems like you took something that can be serious and more of it used as an instructive manner, you know, how to cook, and you instead made it to be a really enjoyable read. I find it similar a little bit to, I think, what Adam Rappaport did for Bon Appetit, right? Before he came along, it was a lot more like, you should be doing A, B, and C.
Right.
And he kind of made it like, okay, even if you're not cooking at that moment, you could sit down with a cup of coffee and enjoy the magazine. I feel like it's the same with yours. There are stories behind it. There are people involved. Was that your idea from day one?
Yeah. So basically we had all this experience in the print world. And we sat down before we started Flashigs and we were like, what are we going to do? Because the truth is, when it comes to instruction, even I can Google how to make pizza, how to make brisket. I don't need a magazine for that. So the point of the magazine is to offer people something that you can't Google. And really that's the lifestyle element. It's the storytelling element. It's even that story we did on kosher in Tuscany. It blew people's minds. And he has not stopped getting bookings because of the article. People didn't even know that you can go to Tuscany and have that experience. So that's really what our goal is. Our goal is that you have something, it's interesting and it's valuable. I want to give people in each issue something that's valuable to them. It's going to change their life for the better in whichever way, shape, or form it could be.
I also feel like it inspires a passion for cooking. I think as, you know, a Jewish woman, we're constantly in the kitchen. And even many of us who enjoy it, at times we can kind of feel like a little depleted and kind of bored by the usual. So this is a great way of saying, okay, try something new or read something new. And that kind of, you know, inspires that creativity again.
Exactly. And like we really focused on with more complicated things. Like I know even for myself, like baking can be so overwhelming, because like when you read instructions, if you're a visual person, it's very hard to understand, you know?
So like, yes, totally.
I agree to that. And like, so we basically, with the more complicated recipes, have been doing these step-by-step guides for every step. So it's visually exciting to see. And it's so informative, but like, it makes you feel like you could do it. We did it with kakash, like the instructions, it took me like 3 hours to wrap my head around it.
Sure.
We had to do it. And I was calling, because Nomi TJS helped us. I call her Nomi TJS, but
yes.
Nomi Elber. So she did that feature and I was on the phone with her and we were like figuring out the shapes. But like now I can make a kakush that's like, you know, next level.
Right. And I think that's very consistent with what we're seeing on Instagram, Instagram stories. So essentially you have to kind of compete with that, where people are doing step-by-step videos. So this is a way of really continuing that visual, you know, communication.
Exactly.
And in a very clear format. What are you most proud of when it comes to your career and all that you've accomplished?
I think it's just continuing to like continuing to be as creative as I possibly could be, and like continuing to try to be as much ahead of the curve as I can be. Like that to me is my constant challenge, but it's almost also what I'm proud of, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, when we reach like 50,000 subscribers, I'll be super proud. That's our goal.
We're all rooting for you. I'm sure you're going to get there. How do you decide the themes that you're going to go with each issue? How do you decide who you're going to collaborate with? What does that process look like?
So with the whole magazine process is very organic. We're not like, the way I deal with it, it's not very corporate and very like, it's not too thought out. It's very like, I do have a general editorial calendar. So each issue has a theme.
Okay. So
the August issue, which is coming up, is going to be our Israel issue. The October issue is going to be holiday related. Then the November issue is going to be travel. So I have my general themes. And then like, I just sort of figure out what makes sense for that time period and then who makes sense for it. And even when I work with people, my first question to them is always like, what do you want to do? What are you passionate about? I don't want to like tell people exactly what to do because it like stifles people's like creativity. So I'm very into like, just do what you love. Like when I worked with I worked with Danielle Renov on the Pesach issue. She's great. And it was just the perfect example of like, okay, she was the guest editor. And I was like, what do you want to do? What are you passionate about? And we just like went from there. I didn't call her thinking about exactly what I want from her. So that's the type of process that I have.
I like that. Were there any particular challenges that you faced when starting Fleishix or growing it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we produce, I think, a magazine that's like on caliber any other publication on the market. And yes, if you open up the pages of a Bon Appetit or a Food and Wine magazine, there are like so many staff. There's so many people working on it. And you just go through this position, this position, this position. And the biggest challenge that we have is that my husband and I basically do most of the positions.
You don't have a test kitchen in Manhattan?
No, I don't. One day, but that's what I'm saying. So exactly. Yes. I don't have a test kitchen in Manhattan. I don't have a full-time test kitchen staff. So all those things is very challenging. But that's our current challenge. It's not over.
How incredible then that you really produced this magazine that is on caliber with all the other ones with the lean team that you have.
Right. Yeah, I guess that could be something I'm proud of. Let's go back to that question. But it's the passion. You know, when you're passionate about something, you're willing to go that extra mile. And sometimes, like, my husband and I sit there, like, we did an Instagram Live one night to Shabbos. And after, it was, like, 11:30. And, like, our night was just starting. And I told my husband, I'm like, do you realize that we just worked? Like, it didn't even occur to us that we were working. But if I was working for another company, that would be considered, let's say, 2 hours of work time.
Sure.
We're like, okay, no, Mitzvah Shabbos, we just worked, you know? We didn't even realize.
Now, I have to say that, you know, starting this was quite gutsy for you because there really wasn't another example to look at. I mean, there's not many in the kosher world. I'm sure there was always that fear of maybe failure or challenges or obstacles. What advice would you give listeners on how to approach that? I mean, we all face it in our day-to-day lives, especially when we're starting a business. Sometimes failure is inevitable, challenges, obstacles. How do you look at it?
So, I mean, there are two things. Number one, you have to have that, I don't know if it's the personality or the mindset to not get bogged down with the failures. Mm-hmm. I happen to be naturally optimistic. So it's not like I printed 10,000 copies of the first magazine.
I love that.
So that's the way I think all the time. So that type of personality, it's easier. So I don't have that challenge as much. Mm-hmm. But I think that what I learned along the way is that when you have a failure or something doesn't go right, the best thing to do is like to just learn from it and see how you can move past it. It's not easy, but that's really the most practical, you know, way to go about it. It's inevitable. I think everyone has failures. You also don't see people's failures. You don't see that, especially in this world of Instagram, everything looks so fluffy and amazing. So you just have to remind yourself, like, you know, you don't want other people's sorrows to make you feel better, but just to remind yourself that it's a fact of life, that people have ups, people have downs, and it's everywhere, everyone, and no one's, you know.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
That. Yeah. So that's really helpful.
Yeah. It's funny when I ask this question, because I don't like to focus on negativity, but I do ask this question with every interview, because I do think that the more we talk about it and normalize it and everyone realizes that everybody has challenges, then you kind of look at them differently. It's not like, why me? It's okay. This is part and parcel of doing anything in life.
Exactly.
And getting advice from people on how to approach it. and talk about it. If there was a recipe for success, what would be, you know, the three key ingredients in your opinion?
So I think that there is persistence. Mm-hmm. There's the hard work aspect. Like, it's just, you have to work so hard. I see even people, like people who made it or did something, it's really hard work, but also very like goal oriented. Like, a lot of times, even things that I realized didn't happen for me or something that I wanted to happen, I realized, well, I never really officially tried to do that.
Interesting. You know?
So sometimes that's something, like, you really have to sit down and plan what you want your success to be and then work towards that success. It's not just going to happen by itself. And you really have to say what you want it to be. Because like, even things like people, like even something like getting an award or getting recognized, even in our world, like, I want the magazine to win awards, right?
Sure.
I'm going to have to, that's a goal of mine. People aren't naturally going to come knocking on my door to give me that recognition. I'm going to have to take certain steps to get it. You know, it's not just going to come to me because I'm amazing. So I think that's part of success too. And then also, like we mentioned before, you know, growing from your mistakes and also listening to what people are saying and listening to like people in the industry. That's also something that we did before we started the magazine. Not before we started, when we went from Bataille Avon Magazine and joined Jamie Geller's team. We did Joy of Kosher Magazine for a few years. So we spoke to people, like business people. We went to just a few people in our neighborhood who gave us the time to talk to them. And we just asked them like what their experience taught them. And we listened to what they had to say. It really helped us out a lot.
Sure. Going back to your second ingredient, you know, actually taking actionable steps and writing down what your goals are. Do you think we sometimes subconsciously stop ourselves because we're afraid? Meaning there are times I will do 1,000 other things and send that one email that potentially scares
100%,
me.
100%. I think like the fear of failure, the fear of getting rejected.
Yes.
You know, that's very, very, like, it's a big deal. Like, everybody goes through it, in whichever area it is. It's a big factor. It's something we all have to, you know, overcome, I guess. I don't know.
Yes,
I definitely deal with that, you know, for
yes.
sure.
Yes. Yes.
And you know, when I have to email someone, if they're like intimidating or whatever it is, like, you know, you start like rethinking it. And like, my husband's always like, just send the email, just send it.
I think men are a lot more like, okay, this has to happen. Woman, it's like, how will that be received? How will I be perceived? It's very emotionally complicated.
Exactly.
Yes. How do you juggle your numerous roles as wife, mother, businesswoman? I'm sure you have a busy schedule.
Yes.
Do you have any tips on how to manage all of that?
I'm very, number one, again, like I do, I'm very into being honest. So number one, like my personality.
Please be honest.
Yeah, no. So like, just my nature is more like I take things as they come. Mm-hmm. Which I find to be when I don't, because sometimes I don't, and then I realize how important it is to just take things as they come. Like when I'm working, I'm working. When I'm with my kids, When I'm with my kids, I'm going to be with my kids. I'm not going to go and try to work. You know, that's one approach. And I really try to consciously set aside time to be with my kids and then time where I work. So it's just about the planning.
Yes, I'm nodding because I just recorded an intro for another episode that will be airing next week about the idea of balance. I used to ask guests how you balance it all. I think balance sometimes is a myth. You can't do everything perfectly all at the same time. And most of the guests have said what you have replied to, which is really you try to be present in what you're doing at that moment.
And I think, you know, everybody also, I think that a lot of people struggle with guilt. Mm-hmm. And that can really take away from the actual time that you have for whatever you're doing.
Sure.
Like sometimes people get consumed with not being able to do it all, but just, you know, take the moments as they come. It's just a little bit more relaxing.
Sure. Guilt really is toxic. It doesn't serve anyone any good. Yeah. But it's something that, we struggle with because I think we see so much out there all the time. And then we see this mom doing this or this woman doing this. And we're like, oh boy.
Yes.
Yeah. Where do you find in, you know, what's going on now in the culinary world, are there any certain trends that you're finding really inspiring that you're super excited about? What's hot right now?
So I think the coolest thing, because I always think in terms, not just the food, I think in terms of like the kosher consumer. I think the most exciting thing that's going on right now is the plant-based vegan movement. It's amazing for the kosher consumer because it's a lot more products that are powered, that like will improve the amount of food that we could have, the amount of ingredients, the quality of ingredients, because we cook so much power of inflation, such a big part of our life. So the vegan movement is just amazing because there's so many more products that we could have. There's amazing, like, now there's like really cool fake cheeses that don't taste like fake cheese. There's just, and everything also is with a health focus. So that's really great for us.
Yes. Are you talking about like the nut-based cheeses, like the cashew cheese or?
There's that, but there's also these cheeses that are made with like pea protein isolates.
Oh, wow. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's very interesting stuff.
That's interesting.
I just have in my fridge. I didn't taste it yet.
I just.
Cheddar and new Parmesan that's out there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I just tasted my first like vegan Caesar salad over Shavuos. It was like a French style creamy cashew cheese, but it was actually really good.
Yes, I made in the January issue, I did a recipe for a vegan. It was because it had mayo. So whatever. Almost vegan Caesar salad dressing. So the trick is to use cashews in the dressing. I put a little bit of capers instead of anchovies because I wanted to eat it with steak. It's a really great dressing, but cashews are like amazing.
Yes.
That chef grated over a microplane for like fake Parmesan cheese.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So now, you know, having people contribute articles and recipes is one thing, and then actually coming up with recipes and creating it is a whole different level. How do you find inspiration for that?
I think this is my, I guess that's my, I don't want to be like, I don't want to sound obnoxious.
No, no. Own your success.
I think that's what I'm good at. Like if I had to say like one thing, it's just coming up with ideas. My actual challenge is to just take it down a notch. Like, you could speak to the editor who works with me and my husband. Like, I'm always over planning. I have too much to do. I want to do so much that, like, actually our issues are packed with content. Like, if you compare the amount of content we have to other regular magazines, we just give too much. I can't help myself. It's just an issue.
Yes.
It's a good issue, but yeah, so it's not something I'm like on my day offs, what I enjoy doing is to go to like the city. I'll walk around the Green Market. I'll go to Whole Foods. I'll go to little like hole in the wall spice shops. And when you do that, you start picking up on like, what's the latest? You start getting ideas all the time. So I immerse myself in the field, but it's fun. So.
Yeah, it's cute. When you guys were in LA, you had picked up some mold and salt at Monsieur Marcel in the farmer's market. And I didn't even know that they sold that. And I live right near the farmer's market. So
that's right. But like we sit there, our shopping experience there would drive you mad. You would not be able to walk with us. Because we're sitting there and like analyzing every spice jar and looking at the ingredients. And like, it's not for the average person.
No, I think it's really fun. I think eventually you should do like a food tour or a food shopping tour. Yes. That would be really, really fun.
Yes.
Yes. You know what, if there are any words of wisdom that you can offer our listeners on anything that you've learned over this entire process, it can be whether it's career or personal life. You know, you started one magazine, then you went and worked for another one, then you started a third one. Is there any topic that you want to, you know, share with our listeners?
I think that the most important thing that I learned along the way is to really just sort of focus on what you have. That I learned in terms of like, you know, going through the fertility issues that I went through. And then even in the business world, seeing behind the scenes of what people go through and then what's projected outwards a lot of times. So that really taught me like, just focus on what you actually have and just enjoy what you have, enjoy every moment, enjoy the process. That's really I try to live like that. And that's really the best thing, I think. the best.
I love that. I really do. Do you think, like, with the going through the infertility experience, it gave you, it must have given you an extra dose of compassion and empathy and an awareness of what other people might be going through? Whereas if you hadn't, you would have not even noticed.
Oh, for sure. All life experiences, you know, the, like now that I'm in my 30s, you start just seeing such a different perspective. It's really cool. Very mature, you know, starting to feel like whatever. But yeah, definitely. That did teach me that, because I was like, you can get bogged down with what, like, I had two kids. I can't even imagine people who don't have, and have to go through that process. The process is really challenging and difficult. There's also no answers. You don't know what's going to be the next day. You don't know what's going to come out of it. It's almost like starting a new business or jumping into anything, because you're investing money, you're taking the steps, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. So it's very challenging, to say the least. And definitely those experiences give you like a certain perspective, for sure. Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm sure you deal with a lot of different people in what you do. You have the people you collaborate with, your team, your photographers. How do you delegate? How do you collaborate? Are there moments of stress? How do you deal with that?
So this is the biggest challenge for me, for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm also like very, like I said, I take every moment as it comes. So I'm not like a planned out person.
Yes.
But that's one thing. I just had to get a calendar. I gave in. I have a calendar now. So that really helps. I have a calendar now. I plan things out. You know, there are things that fall through the cracks. Like we'll wake up one day and we'll be like, we'll commit to something even, and then realize, oh my gosh, like we can't do that. We have to figure it out. There are a lot of moments like that. Yes. Right now, actually, I had to change the photo shoot last minute because we had to change our print schedule, and we are middle of a photo shoot now. And I was like, okay, guys, I'm taking a break. I'm coming to do the podcast. I committed.
Oh, wow.
So I felt that. Yeah. I was like, I committed. So I like, my husband's taking care of one of the shots that he always does, but he usually does it at the end of the shoot.
Right.
Meat shot.
Which one?
We have for our butcher's cut section.
Yes. Yes.
The meat. My husband does it. It's like his shtick. It's his idea. So he's doing it now. So I delegated that to him. Him and the photographer are downstairs doing that.
Oh, my goodness.
There are definitely moments like this all the time.
Wow. Yes. I'm laughing with the calendar. I recently had a guest who asked me to send an invite through Google Calendar, which I don't use with interior design, because like if I sent that to a contractor, he'd be like, haha, like nice try. You're dealing around my schedule, you know, with renovation and design work, it all revolves around the painter or the contractor. So anyhow, I sent her invite. I happened to accidentally send her my like entire schedule, including like my wax. Like it was embarrassing. And that's a learning
like
curve.
That would happen to me. I'm totally relating.
Oh, you're making me feel so much better, because I realized it last night when I was tired and overworked, and I'm like, oh my God, who would do that? But yeah, it happens. Totally. So let's get down to some of the more funner questions. This is where I ask you your favorites. And we'll start with your favorite easy meal.
Roasted chicken and potatoes. Like, that's my favorite.
Yes. Yeah. That's like a classic.
It's just a classic. It's good. And I have so many versions of it. I can make a cookbook called chicken and potatoes.
You really could.
I probably could. There's so many variations. I love it.
Are you into the spatchcock chicken?
Spatchcock chicken, crumb chicken, roasted potatoes. Anything. Like, it's just so good.
I'm just curious, do you have a food that you don't like or can't taste or can't be around? Like, is there any food pet peeves?
Very, very few. I'm very scared of okra.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like the texture of tomatoes, but I like tomatoes.
Okay.
And I don't like ice cream.
Interesting.
Yes. That's the one that like boggles people's minds.
Okay.
I'm very true to the Fleishik brand. I really could eat Fleishik for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I really could.
That's amazing.
So it speaks to me, yeah.
Well, I love that you chose Fleishik. My son is definitely allergic to dairy and eggs. Oh. So we eat a lot of meat in our house. In fact, we went to Israel for Pesach. We traveled with a sous vide machine. And that machine was bubbling in our room the entire Pesach.
That's amazing.
Yes. Do you have a favorite? Okay, this one might be hard. You can either choose a cookbook or a book, because cookbooks, I I'm assuming you have tons.
Yes. It's really hard. I can't have a favorite book.
I know.
I have stuff. I'm very excited for Adina Sussman's new book.
Okay.
Which I got a sneak peek of. So that's going to be really exciting. That's a cool one. And then I love, there's a book called Love and Logic that I use for disciplining my kids and dealing with them. I love it. It's a great, it just speaks to me.
Okay, great.
I'll
make sure to include that in the show notes. Do you have a favorite city? I know you travel a lot.
Favorite city is Manhattan. I love it. And that's where, like, that's just my ultimate day off. That's where I go and hang. And there's so much to do there. I love it.
Yes. This one also might be hard. Is there a favorite restaurant? And you don't even have to say favorite restaurant, but just one that you recently visited and you're like, oh, I'm excited about what's going on here.
Okay. So, there's also so many. I actually am embarrassed to say how many times I go out to eat and where I do.
That's so fun.
Well, Allenby was great last night.
Yes.
So that was amazing. They have a very good vibe, really cool food. Great place to hang and sit. I love Bora Bora. They make in New York City. That's great. They do really good ramen bowls. There's so many. Marani in Queens is great.
Okay.
There's so many. And then there's a local place that, like, Cafe Chocolat, so good. Oh my God, if you're ever in Five Towns, it's really good stuff.
Okay, I'm coming to New York.
They make their own chocolates. This is my one milkshake-like thing, like, that I love, is their chocolates. Yeah. Okay, the list, we could do a podcast on restaurants.
Just on restaurants.
Totally.
You know, the last question I want to ask you is, as a woman, we have so many responsibilities, especially this time of the year, end of school, starting camp. For any woman who is overwhelmed, who wants to cook a quick, easy meal for a family, something that's delicious, what would you recommend? What currently are you digging in terms of just easy preparation, delicious results?
I'm always into, like, the sheet pan dinner idea. Mm-hmm. It's just so great. Firstly, sheet pans are just the best thing ever.
Yes.
And there's so much things you could do with it, and I could go on and on about it. But, like, the other day I did, like, I put sliced oranges on a plate on the sheet pan, put salmon on top, teriyaki sauce.
Oh, I saw that. Zest.
Yeah. And that was just, like, just because I did the fresh oranges, it just elevated it. I put broccoli, and then you have dinner. So, like, there's so many, you could do it with anything. So sheet pans are always my go-to, and they also take so quick.
Yes.
It's like 5 minutes put together, and it has every element on it. So you're serving a full meal. So that's the go-to. It's a good go-to.
Sure. And what about a go-to for Shabbat dinner? You know, there's this pressure about doing 500 salads and dips. And if someone's busy and they want to just serve a beautiful meal, what would you recommend?
So basically, I think that a lot of fresh vegetables, mm-hmm. think about things that you could prepare on Shabbos.
Okay.
I have a lot of recipes that I always have on my back burner that I can do on Shabbos, because I find that on Shabbos, you have time sometimes, yes. to cut something up and do, but before Shabbos is when it's just too busy. So, like, a raw tuna dish is always great. I always have, like, tuna steaks in my freezer. The frozen Connie is great because you can do gorgeous things with it on Shabbos. So that, I love to do things like that. And then also, I think that this I learned from a really good friend of mine, who just always, like, has these gorgeous meals, but she keeps it so simple. We're all not hungry, so we just get carried away from doing too much.
Totally.
And, like, there's nothing wrong with doing just a protein, a salad, a roasted dish, challah dips. I mean, what else? Like, you know, you don't have to do Thanksgiving every Shabbos. It's just to take the pressure down and know that, like, people are doing it. People are embracing it. You know, maybe I'll do something on that in another issue.
Yes, I would love that.
Yes.
Because there are some weeks when I'm just so tired. I'm like, oh God, am I going to really make an entire meal with three courses and every little side dish? So yeah, quick, simplified. I like that.
Yeah. I think we should do it.
Yes.
Yeah, I got inspired right now.
I'm so happy.
I'm telling you. I'm going to go put it down now on my list of to-dos, and now we'll figure out how to do it.
Yeah, because it's something that I've talked about with a lot of friends, and many friends who are fantastic cooks, so you know some of them, but they're just, by the end of the week, they're tired, and they want to enjoy their company.
Yeah, it's not about cooking abilities. It's not about that. And, like, also, I think there's, hopefully, for sure, like, in 10, 20 years, the whole pressure of Shabbos and Yom Tov is going to go down a notch. People are going to do it. I think so.
Yeah. It's a different way of cooking. It's going back to our roots and cooking with cleaner, fresher ingredients.
Exactly.
Which is really important.
Don't invite people who make you feel stressed.
Yes. Yes.
If it's a busy week, yes. Save those people for when you have time.
You mean no monogram napkins?
Exactly.
Totally. Shifra, this was so much fun. I don't want to keep you from your photo shoot, but can you tell listeners where they can find you if they somehow have not found you already?
Yes. So we're on Instagram at FeliciousMag. There's Felicious.com where you could subscribe. And then I also have an Instagram page, Shifra Klein.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This
Thanks
was
for having
beautiful.
Me. Take care. Bye. Okay.
Thank you so much for listening in on our thoughtful, authentic conversation today. Stay tuned for next week's episode and make it a great one.